Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, I just pray you just move among us this morning and just be our teacher. We just thank you for your word. We thank you we can look into it and see the depths of who you are. And so, Lord, we just praise you. I just pray you to anoint me to speak words of the Spirit. And I pray each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 We're looking, if you will, at Luke. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Now, as we've been looking at Luke and going through the book of Luke, it's all working up to this point. And as we have the opening verses where it talks about this is an investigation. This is an investigation. So Luke is he came to know the Lord. And so he's writing a letter to his friend, and he's telling them about who Jesus is. And from the very beginning, he investigated the account. And so we're coming up to this point in his investigation of who Jesus Christ is and the Holy Spirit is. And so we have this at this time. Well, what we have now in chapter 5 is Jesus is moving out and people are taking notice of him. All right, there, everyone's taking notice of him. And if you will, kind of a modern day contemporary thing, they're going, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. All right, stuff is different. Everything's different. And so people are taking notice of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are happening around him. And so he is kind of challenging the norms, and God is working incredibly through him. So Jesus is showing himself as the Messiah. So it's a fascinating point in time. So we have that picture. We have this picture of Jesus. So it's a revelation, a picture of Jesus. And so as Luke is expressing it, look at this person of Jesus. He's different from anyone else. There's not anyone going to come after him that's going to be like him. There's no one ever come before. So this is a unique time in history, unique time in eternity, unique time as we see God working. And so we'll put ourselves in place of these people, and let's understand about Jesus. I mean, even now we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but who is he? Who is he? And this is how he came onto history right here. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. All right. This is who Jesus is. This is what everyone is seeing. Somebody, he's coming, he's teaching, but there's power flowing out of him. He's changing everyone around him. He's healing diseases, and just it would be incredible, just remarkable to be able to see the presence of Jesus coming into the world. And so this is the Jesus we praise. This is the Jesus we follow. And so I think it's important us take note of that. Then he says, which may seem kind of interesting, he charged the man, and he says, go on, says, but don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Just go show yourself to the priest and make an offering of your cleansing as Moses commanded you, as Moses commanded you. Now, what's important about that, he says, don't talk to anybody. Go to the priest. He was a leper, okay? And so they had very strict laws about leprosy, and so he was separated from the camp. There was only one group of people who could say, you're clean and you can come back into the camp. It was the priest. And so he said, don't talk to anybody, just go to the priest as a witness to them. And what the witness was, it was witness that, hey, I'm clean. And so they were like the health, you know, the health detectives. All right, this guy is clean. They let him back in. So it's a proof of Jesus' hand there. Also, it's also is an evidence that he is the Messiah. And as this went on, in verse 15, we see that even the report about him went more and more people, and then more and more people wanted to come and be healed, hear his teaching and be healed. And then we see the verse, the last verse that ends up here in this section, he said he would withdraw and pray. Because he knew what was happening. He saw what was happening. He's healing all these people. But then he would withdraw as the people would come. And he would pray and ask the Lord direction on how he should deal with these situations. So here we have this picture, and it ties into the title here, Hope for the Hopeless. And that's what Jesus came. The religion had been here for a long time. But what Jesus brought was hope for the hopeless. Now we look at this and we want to think about leprosy and understand what leprosy is. And I think, you know, now they can treat it somewhat. But Old Testament leprosy was an irreversible physical condition, and it required the whole separation from the population. You were required to be separate from the population, and they had very strict rules about it because it's so terribly contagious, and they didn't know what it was, and so they had it separate. So in the Bible, so we have this picture of this leopard, and it's important to realize who he was. As we look at Jesus, I think it helps us to understand who Jesus is when we look and see who this leopard was. And so in Leviticus, and you have an overhead for this, but you can just listen. In Leviticus, it addresses, for the Jewish population, the Jewish religion, it addresses how you handle a leper, someone who has leprosy. And it's across the board. There's sometimes even kings had leprosy, and they had to fall into this category. It was a devastating disease. But listen to what it says to understand how bad leprosy was and how it was treated from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. It says this, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, don't sneeze on anybody. I mean, that's really what it is. Cover his upper lip and cry out. Anytime anybody come around you, you'd cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. So this is this picture, long hair, torn clothes, covering, unclean, unclean, and he's separated from the entire camp. This is who this guy was. And they would have whole groups of these people. As you read through the scripture, you would see, because they would tend to congregate together, because they can be around other people. But you can just imagine the blight, you know, on the population in the area, you would see these people. And so this is what it is. With this guy, comes to the Lord, and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. Now, here's something for us to remember and think about as we look at this about Jesus, and Jesus is changing everything. He's changing everything. He's changing all the norms, the person of Jesus. The man of this hopeless condition dares to cry out. Now remember, he's separated from society. Imagine what he looks like. Okay, what he looks like. It's not like he's sneaking up and nobody knows who he is. This is what he looks. He comes up to Jesus. He goes, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See the reputation of who Jesus was starting to spread. Who this guy's different. He's different. Then Jesus does the absolute unthinkable. I don't know how many people look over this. It is unthinkable of what he does. He touches him. This is a highly contagious disease. He touches him. He touches the man, and then he declares the man clean. Clean. And at Jesus' touch, the presence of God, at his touch, what happened? What went from Jesus through his fingertips into the man? Power of God. See, it was, you know, and you talk about it, and it even talks of believers, and I think we should take it serious, and it tells believers to lay your hands on people, pray for people. It uses terms like imparting, you know. So here Jesus has a picture, this picture that Jesus touches this man. He says, be clean. He touches him. There's a transfer of power to this man, and this man is clean. Now, here's the picture. So now, Everybody's paying attention. They were paying attention before, but now they're even paying more attention. Who is this? Who is this person? Who is this person? So that's who we're looking at as we're going through Luke, who this person is. And it has that made an impact in his 3-year ministry, made an impact that literally changed the whole world. This is who he was. Now, what I want to do, as great as this situation was, and as we look at it, and I think as we see Jesus, and we can be so encouraged that we spend eternity with him, that we are totally clean, that we know that we are forgiven, so we could see his power physically, and so there's no ailments in heaven, if you will. You know that. You can see his power he's showing here on earth. But there's a deeper picture here. Okay, we see the physical. I almost started to put an overhead of, you know, one of these leopards, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm just not going to do it. But you have the picture of what this guy looked like. Okay, now, I mean, that's how he was dressed. But then his skin is being eaten away. Okay, he's being eaten away. So that's the picture we have. Now, here is something. As terrible as leprosy is, and in the Bible, you see this, and it's used, and it's appropriate for us to look at it this way. But the physical picture of leprosy, it's really of something much, much worse. It is a picture. It is a picture of the ailing human condition. Leprosy is used as a picture to show the human condition. It's a physical picture to show the ailing spiritual leprosy in which people have, all people separated from Christ, okay? That's how they look to God, if you will, okay? They're ailing. There is an ailing, destructive, degenerative power of sin eating at people that will ultimately destroy people, and this is sin that relies within the human nature. All right, so this is a spiritual picture, and God fully sees this. He fully sees this, all right? As we see Jesus physically heal this leopard physically, we can physically see this picture of this leopard, okay? We can see that, and we can see Jesus heal him. But spiritually, this is what people separated from Christ look like to God. This is how he sees, because he sees into the spirit, he sees into our heart, and what he sees the leprosy within a person that is absolutely destroying them and ultimately will destroy them. And it is a leprosy that separates them from God. They're separated from God. Those without Christ are separated from God. So you have this picture that those without Christ, with this leprosy, are outside the camp. They're outside the camp. See? They're outside the kingdom of God. They're functioning. They hang in their own groups. They move together in their leprous groups, you know. Now they look, and physically, they look good, but who they are inside is destroying them. It's destroying them. And so, and you see people in going through life, seeking the things of life, and you'll see that is a picture of the destruction of human beings that we can see physically because of the leprosy within, because the sin within that ultimately catches up with the people. And God sees it. He just sees it. So this is a picture of what God sees. But it also is a picture, of the hope and healing message of Jesus Christ. What he did. And look at the context. If you're willing, you can heal me. Now what happened here is the man came up and recognized who Jesus was. And he said to Jesus, if you are willing, he came to Jesus. If you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And he touched him, and he healed him. Spiritually, that healing message is the same now. Jesus, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself. We've heard that before, haven't you? I'm a sinner, I can't save myself. Save me. He goes, I will. He touches you, and we're healed within. Totally, 100% healed within. Totally restored. So he comes and lives within us. Now, I've shared this before, but the picture is so good. We talk about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in him. Our sins are forgiven. Amen? He comes to live within us, all right? He declares us righteous, and because we're righteous, he comes and live within us because he paid the penalty for sin. What about the leopard, okay, who hasn't come to Jesus? He said, Jesus, come and live within me. Said, no. No. You know, you're a picture of what it is to be separated from God. God doesn't indwell that. See, but what happened? We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're righteous. We're not that leopard anymore. And then he takes up residence. You see the picture? That's what's happening. So when we trust Christ, he said, we make ourselves, when we trust Christ that God paid the penalty for our sins, he says, you are cleansed, therefore now I take up residence in you. Amen? That's what's happening. And so you have this physical picture here. Now, and Jesus has given this healing message of hope for the hopeless to share with those of spiritual leprosy and separated from God. So he's given us all that message. Okay? It's a spiritual message for those that have spiritual leprosy that are separated from God. But we have the message of hope. We have the message of hope. If you will, here, look at 1 Peter 2:24. We have overhead here. 1 Peter 2:24. And just look at the picture of the leopard, okay? The one with leprosy. He himself bore our sins in his body. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin, might die to being a leopard, and live in righteousness. So that's what he did. And it says, by his wounds we are healed. By whose wounds? Jesus. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus becomes the leprosy. Our leprosy falls on him. He dies in our place. By his wounds we are healed. And so we are made holy before God. We are cleansed. We are healed. And then God takes up residence within us. That's a message of hope. That's a message of hope for the hopelessness. Now, what's interesting is this leopard recognized his condition. He just, you know, this isn't good. Okay? He recognized his condition. Then the second thing he did, he recognized who Jesus was. He went to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can heal me because I know who you are. Jesus goes, I'm willing. The sinner is the same way. The one says, you know, my life is going down not a good path, and I know I'm not doing right. And Lord, I know this is right, and I know who Jesus is. God, save me. He said, I will. See, the person has to discern, I know that I have leprosy. I know that I have sin that separates me from God. And therefore, he steps to God and God said, God, heal me. And he heals us. But he allows us to make a decision to come to him. And we're going to go through scripture and we're going to watch Jesus. Luke's a long book, 24 chapters. You know, Luke is a doctor. You know, doctors write a lot. You know, I mean, this is the longest gospel there is. Jesus never runs after anybody. He heals everybody who comes, but he doesn't run after anybody. He preaches the word, and all who come to him, he heals, but he doesn't run after anybody. So here's the message, but we just see the picture of this right now. We see the understanding. And so we back up and we tie the physical to the spiritual. We have this physical picture. It's so helpful. Like I said, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new religion. It's just like he's coming in and it's him. And you see, it's like, my goodness, we're seeing the reality of Christ. We're seeing the reality of Christ in the physical, but Jesus is all the time communicating the message, and in the whole rest of the New Testament, it is sin. It's not the physical, because you can be physically whole and go straight to hell, okay? It is not the physical, it's the spiritual. It's the inside that's transformed. When the inside is transformed, we have a home in heaven. And so he's showing us that Jesus is coming and saying, I am transforming the inside. Religion tries to transform the outside. Jesus comes, says, I'm transforming the inside. Amen? It's all inside. And so, and what he has done, he's telling us, we have this picture and we understand what Jesus is doing. Now, today Jesus is using us. Now here's, we want to transition, okay? That's Jesus. I think anybody who comes to know Christ, even the world, it's funny to watch people that are not Christians but are learned and they read about Jesus and they all think, you know, Jesus is all right. You know, he's not a bad guy. Now, they don't understand his deity or he paid the penalty for sins or accept that, but they look at him in general and say, they're a pretty good guy. What he's doing is pretty good. But we see something deeper, that there's a spiritual transformation that he wants to bring to his people. And so we see Jesus, he's bringing hope for the hopeless. He's bringing hope for the hopeless. And what he's doing, he's giving us that message to bring hope to the hopeless. And what we can walk up to somebody, and this is something we should know. You could just have a poor drug-infested or alcohol-infested person, you know, homeless person, and you think, they need Jesus because their physical appearance is a manifestation of the sin that's destroying them. It's, gosh, they need Jesus. But the reality of it, you can look the person, three-piece suit, good looking, fit, and like that. He's in the same condition as that homeless person. His physical, his spiritual view is just like that homeless person, and God's not looking at them any different because inside they're leprous. See? And so we know the message for the homeless person and the message for the guy in the three-piece suit is the same message, and it's the same need. What if we get the homeless guy, take him home, wash him up, clean him up, give him the three-piece suit, and we'll set him over here by this other guy at the three-piece suit and says, ah, we did him a favor, now he's better. No, he's not better. We just cleaned him up and dressed him up. But he's not any better. Okay, so here's the truth of it. Here's the whole truth of it. We see that God is telling us that we have a message for hope for the hopeless. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and this is something we need to really grab hold of. It says, when we speak, now I'm talking because God has given us the message. Amen? Who has the message that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins? We do. Okay, we have that message now. So when we speak, Jesus' sheep will hear his voice. When we speak Jesus' message, Jesus' sheep will hear his voice. Not everyone hears. Only Jesus' sheep hear. Somebody, well, why don't they hear? They're not his sheep. You know? But you ever walk up and you have a friend or somebody you think they'd make the perfect Christian. You know, you share with them and they have nothing to do with it. There's nothing to do with it. You know, well, why? And I don't talk about your friend and not his sheep. And then you'll do, and this happened to me so many times, you see somebody say, this person will never come to know the Lord. You know, it's just not going to happen. I'm not even going to share it. It's just not worth the time. Then they go someplace else, somebody else shares the Lord with him. He has 100%, 180, turn around, loves Jesus, and comes back. I don't know, how did he come to know the Lord? How did he? He was his sheep, and he heard the voice. See, so we don't know. We can't make that determination of who's going to hear the voice. And we're not supposed to. What we're supposed to do is speak his word. Now here's this, I want to show this verse to you. This is, and I want you to think about it. I mean, I think some people have a problem with this verse. It's John 10:27. I want you to think about it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And it says this, and I know them. Okay. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know who they are, and they will follow me. That's who Jesus is. He knows who his sheep is. He knows they're going to hear his voice, and he knows they will follow him. See, when Jesus speaks, his sheep hear his voice. Not everyone hears his voice. Only his sheep hear his voice. We should look at that and say, okay. And so that we make an understanding that, like, well, we need to pay attention. Now, if this is true, who should you share with? I'm just asking you, think about it. Who should you share with? Everybody. You share with everybody, because he didn't tell you who's going to hear his voice. He didn't bother to tell us who's going to hear his voice. He just told us his sheep will hear his voice. He told the disciples, go and make disciples in all the world. But to who? Everybody. Go and tell everybody. You tell everybody. And guess what? My sheep will hear my voice. You know? They have a world-renowned speaker. This world-renowned, I mean, brilliant. This guy's been to seminary, and he's just got a PhD in theology, and he has 100 people here. He preaches Jesus, all right? Who's going to hear his voice? The one that Jesus. One is Jesus, who belongs to Jesus. My sheep. Who's going to hear his voice? Jesus' sheep will hear his voice. I don't care how smart he is. Well, we got over here, and this guy not too sharp. You know, he got saved. You know, he's one of these homeless people, and he just came to know the Lord. He doesn't know anything, but Jesus died for your sins. And he shares for, there's 100 people here, and he just shared, Jesus died for your sin. Who's going to hear his voice? Jesus' sheep. It doesn't matter if you got a PhD or just got out of junior high. The ones who hear Jesus' voice are Jesus' sheep. So we should have a perspective here. We should have a perspective here that when we want to speak, we need to speak the truth of God to God's people. And you know what? I think it'd be really good for us if we just paid attention. Just paid attention. And as we pay attention, when we share what Jesus said, the ones that are Jesus' sheep are going to respond. And Jesus knows who they are. But he told us to speak to everyone. And he's the one who knows who his sheep are. And his sheep will follow him. How do we know there's his sheep? Because they follow him. You go, son of a gun. Never thought. They had come to know the Lord. Why did? Because they were his sheep. And he spoke to them beforehand. All we did was share that Jesus loves you. And when we share that Jesus loves you, then they respond to Jesus' voice that we carry. He told the disciples, go into all the world, make disciples. Amen? Doesn't it just change kind of the dynamic a little bit? See? And so, it's who Jesus speaks to. It's who Jesus speaks to. I'll share this with you. We shared it last week. And it really is kind of a founding principle that we have in the church. But it's the same thing. And it's in Luke 5:10-5, I think. Somewhere around there. Okay? Luke 10:5, I believe. And it says this. When you go into somebody's house, speak peace to the house. And if there is a man or woman of peace in the house, your peace will rest on them. Now, what did you do? You just walked in the house. What'd you do? See if we got any believers in this place. Hand raise, you know. So, I've said this all the time, but I just think it's the funniest thing in the world. It'd be like Peter when he went in Cornelius' house. He walks to Cornelius' house. You know you're a Gentile and I'm not supposed to be here, but since God told me, I'm coming into your house. You know, I mean, I guess anything works. If it's Jesus' sheep, you know, he goes, yeah, gosh, it's humbling, but yeah, God spoke to me and I got to listen to you. But no, so the point of it is, you go into the house, you speak peace. And if there's a man or woman of peace, it rests on them. See, and you go, oh, okay. And if there's not, it says it returns to you. It just bounces back. It's like a boomerang, a little ping pong ball. Don't, boom, oh, I got that. Mm-mm. I got that and back, you know. But it's, well, no, it rested with that person. And so all you did was speak peace, and you're finding out who Jesus' man or woman of peace is. See, but you have to speak peace to figure it out. See, but what if they don't accept it? Well, that's fine. It just bounces back to you, okay? See, it comes back, and you share it again. But if the man or woman peace there, it rests on them. You say, oh, wow. Now you have an opening. But we have to speak peace. God is touching people. God is the one who's touching people. We're just speaking peace. We're sharing God's love is what we're doing. See, now here we go, and it says this, and this is interesting. So we have Jesus telling his disciples their ministry. Okay, we saw what Jesus is. Now he's telling his disciples his ministry, and I love this in John 20, verse 21. So he commands his disciples. And what he commanded his disciples, he's commanded us. Okay, there's no difference in this command. So look at John 20, 21. And Jesus said, now this is after the resurrection. This is after resurrection. It says, Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. Now he's talking to his disciples. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now process that. We have Luke, okay, Luke 5, 12 through 16, and see Jesus being sent and the ministry that Jesus has given, and we see the leper cured, we're seeing all sorts of things. So he says right here, as the Father has sent me, this is the last part, the last chapter, the second last chapter of the book of John. So as the Father has sent me, in which I told you in the entire book of John, are the entire things I'm telling you in the 24 chapters of Luke, as God has sent me, as he has sent me, do we know how he sent Jesus? I went ahead now. Do we know how he sent Jesus? Do we? Okay. Then he says this, even so, I am sending you. No. Kidding me. You're kidding me. Now, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I am sending you. And you have a message, a hope for the hopeless. You have a cure for the leopard. You have a cure for the leopard. They're outside the camp, and you have a message that will bring them inside the camp. They'll be transformed because I'm already speaking to them. They're waiting for someone to speak my word to them, and they're going to respond to you. I've prepared them before, and you're going to talk to 50 people, and there's going to be two that I've picked. There's only two of my sheep in the 50, but you speak to the 50. Amen? See, that's what he's saying. Oh, my neighborhood. You got all the neighborhoods. Gosh, this is a whole, man, this bunch of people. Who's in here? You don't know who's what, and they're all over the map. They make any difference. You speak the word of peace, and the sheep Jesus has touched, the one, will respond. Why will they respond? Because Jesus touched him. They're his sheep. He has a sheep there. He has a sheep. And you're only going to recognize it when we speak the word, and then the sheep will follow him. The rest of them won't. there's nothing in the Bible that talks about Jesus talked to 50 people, all 50 of them fell down and worshiped him. There's no place. It's not there. It didn't happen. You know, went to an auditorium, I preached, and everybody fell on their face and accepted Jesus. Well, maybe so, but you're doing way better than Jesus did. See? Way better, because that didn't happen to him. Now, they followed him like he's a good guy to hang around. I mean, you get fed, you could get dinner. I mean, you just give him anything, he'd feed the 5,000, you know, he'd feed them. Didn't say that he trusted in him as Savior. He just fed them. And in fact, one place says he went away from them because they wanted him because he fed them. You know, they thought, you got 5,000 and you got a few sheep, and the rest of them said, this is the coolest welfare program I ever saw. Man, I mean, you get dressed and fed and follow this guy. Hey, Martha, come on, I quit my job. This is great. No, they followed because he fed him. But he had some sheep. His sheep followed him and served him. See? That's the key. But it's what Jesus said. But what is our responsible? What is our responsibility? We got to say it. We have to say, Jesus loves you. We have a message of hope. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. Now, this next verse, this is kind of a difficult verse, and in the Greek it's kind of difficult, but it's in the Bible, okay? So we'll look at it, take a shot at it here. But this is follows. John 20:21 says, even as Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And then he says this, verse next overhead, John 20:22-23. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now I think this is the picture just like, how are we going to do this? And Jesus, and he says, you're going to do it because I do it and I'm within you and I'm working out. It's the Holy Spirit I'm breathing on you that's going to do the work here, okay? And it's a precursor to Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit fell on him. Christ in us, okay? That's how we have the power of the message here. So he said to them, now again, I'm sending you. As the Lord has sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. So we see the power of the Holy Spirit working in this function. And then he says this. Now think about this. If you forgive sin of any, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. It's like within you, you can pass on forgiveness, or within you, you can withhold forgiveness. Now, that's a heady thing. Now, what I think this is saying, looked up a few places, okay? What we do, we don't forgive anyone, okay? We announce forgiveness. We announce it. Jesus paid the penalty for sin. You are forgiven. We announce it. We do not create forgiveness. We just announce it. This is the essence of salvation. And all who proclaim the gospel that Jesus loved you, paid the penalty for your sins, is in effect forgiving or not forgiving sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. I believe that. They received it. I don't believe that. They're identified as unforgiven. You just presented the message. Their response was an identification. Who was accepted and who's not accepted. You say, man of peace, and your peace rests on them. You know, you say a man of peace, and there's no man of peace there. It comes back to you. Same thing. You see, so, I mean, that's the power he's given to believers. You come out, the forgiveness of other people is wrapped up into the Christian who says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. And there's a reception and they are forgiven. And you share it with someone else. And I don't believe them, have nothing to do with that. There is rejection and it comes back to you and they're unforgiven. You are the one announcing it and that is your role to announce it. And that's what it says here and that's what he leaves with them. That's why he lives with them. Our job is not to save. Our job is to speak hope for the hopeless. And Jesus' sheep will respond. His sheep will respond. We possess a priceless treasure, and God commands us to give it away. We need to be confident that we have a healing word, a healing touch for those suffering physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're responsible to give away what we have. We have that healing touch. And you got somebody got leprosy and you go and you touch them, they go, "Don't touch me." You still have the healing touch. It wouldn't be received. But yet the leper that came and felt that, if you are willing, you can heal me. Be healed. See, you have the message. Christ loves you. You are forgiven. And we have that message. It rests with us. He's given us that authority. And we're all saying, "Well, they didn't accept it. They're not his sheep, you know? And if they did accept it, that's because they're his sheep. It's not because you're so smart." Right? It's just his sheep. So I remember that I just found this thought funny. Spurgeon, they's talking about, he's an old, called him the Prince of Preachers back in the 1800s. And he said, when you preach the gospel, he says, "How do you know they'll respond?" He says, "His sheep will respond." And he says, "How do you know what to do?" He says, "The Lord told me to preach his word." And he says, "Well, what if there's another way?" He said, "If he told me there's another way, I'd do it." He said, "If they told me to run out and jerk everybody's shirt tail out, and on the back of it says, 'I'm his sheep,' I just run around town jerking out shirt tails. You know, I just keep jerking out shirt tails. Everybody mad. I wouldn't care. I keep jerking out shirt tails till I found this is my sheep." He said, "So I tell everybody." See, so that's the point. It's like, fortunately, we don't have to go around our neighborhood and jerk everybody's shirt tail out, you know, to see what it says, all right? So that would be a challenge, but we are to share the truth. And you'll find God's sheep because God went ahead of you and he touched those people. We're responsible to give what we have. And I'm starting to love this verse more and more. He spoke to me. This to me about 4 years ago, but Acts 3:6. You know, because we tend to worry about what we don't have, you know, is what we don't have, and we fret over that. And the disciples had nothing. They had nothing, all right? But this is what they said in Acts 3:6. This is what they said. They had nothing. Peter and John, I mean, cream of the crop of the disciples, I suppose, you know? He goes, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." The message of salvation. And he said, "Get up and walk." See, we have everything we need to have a spiritual impact. God goes his sheep. He knows who they are. We don't, but we're commanded to speak God's love to everybody. And just observe. "Oh, okay. Got that one, you know, that's obvious." And sometimes it's not so obvious because you see people circle back around, you know, like they throw a first punch, you kind of back up, and they come back around and they have some questions. See, so you have to be open, but we have to understand Jesus knows who his sheep are. He knows, and his sheep follow him. We are messengers, but he has given us the commandment. As God has sent me, I'm sending you. You know, some of us say, "Well, what am I supposed to do with my life? I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Share the gospel. Share Christ's love. Your life will start falling into place. "I don't know what to do at work, and these people are doing it." Share the gospel with the folks. Okay? Things will clarify. Things will clarify. You see what I'm saying? Because God, by the way, I want to tell you something. This is hard for me to grasp for a long time. God did not put you here for your current job. That's not why he put you there. Now, he may have gave you his current job to do well, and he gifted you to do well in that job. He expects you to do well in that job as a representative for him. But he put you in that current job to share Christ. And you're never going to be happy until you share Christ. You see, nothing wrong with the job, and you're supposed to do good, but it is an avenue to share Christ. Ever wonder about your neighborhood? And I've shared this before. Your neighborhood, don't your neighbors just drive you nuts?
I mean, gosh, they sure don't know Jesus, you know, especially when they're throwing their trash in my yard. They don't know Jesus, you know. But what he did, it's like, no, this is that house. This is my dream home. This is just what I wanted. This is what I wanted. It's, everything's just perfect. And God wants you to take care of it. He says he will provide for you. He says he will supply. But while you're there, it's an avenue to share Christ. That's the purpose. So you want to keep the job going good, share Christ. You want to keep the home going good, share Christ, because that's the ultimate purpose. Amen? If kids start realizing this in school, why am I in this school? Then you realize you just share Christ, because there's some sheep in that. Maybe they're lambs. Okay, there's some lambs in it. You know, there's somebody in there. And again, here's another verse. Gate is narrow and few who find it. Well, they didn't have 15 people come to know Jesus. The gate's narrow, but I have my sheep. You speak the word. You see what I'm saying? So with the perspective is to understand who we are and that God knows his sheep and he has touched his sheep. We're supposed to say something. We have the message. We have the message for the hopeless. We have the message for the hopeless. And again, it's worth throwing this up again. Look at John 10:27. We'll just throw it up again. My sheep hear my voice. Okay? I give the best sermon in the world, and somebody says, I believe. Oh, I did it. Good for me. Gold star. No, it has nothing to do with that. His sheep is going to hear his voice. Some 12-year-old could give the testimony before the service and come up and say, this is how I accepted Christ. And that same person says, I believe. Why? Because Jesus' sheep hear his voice. See, his sheep hear his voice. We carry it. And it does say study to show yourself approved, but it still means he is going to only pick. He knows his sheep, and he knows who his sheep are, and his sheep will follow me. Our point, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgave us our sins. He loves us. Think of all the social issues. Anybody want to get in an argument over social issues? Come on, Dad, just think of it. Let's just pick them. Just social issue, gazoo, you know? And it's like, and I love to argue about social issues. Yeah, they say, why are you thinking about this? I say, I think Jesus loves you. You know, he's forgiven your sin. Well, what do you think about it? I think Jesus loves you, and he's forgiven. What do you think about it? I really think Jesus loves you, and he's forgiven you. Do you know anything else? No, I don't. I just know that Jesus loves you. You see what I'm saying? Because you don't get wrapped up into that, because the only way their social issue is going to change is if they know that Jesus loves them, and then they follow him. See? That's the only way it's going to change. So why argue about it? It's Jesus' love. We have the message of hope for hopelessness. Speak words of hope. Touch the hopeless. Touch the hopeless. Be agents of healing. That's what agents of healing. Be healed ourselves. And again, what do we say? Well, let's say what Jesus said. Okay, we put up here. I had this John 3:16. Okay. He's talking to Nicodemus, a religious scholar. Now, he is the scholar of all scholars in Judaism. Nicodemus, you can read him. I mean, he had all the education he needed behind him, you know, everything. And he comes to Jesus, and this is what Jesus said to him. Nicodemus, you're missing something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, have eternal life. Nicodemus, it's what you're missing. Now, if that's all Jesus told him, why would we want to tell him anything else? Huh? Why would we want to get in an argument, give some Old Testament, research and explain something and, you know, go through the Torah and, you know, and all this stuff? I mean, Jesus was there. Why? He didn't do that. Why would we want to do that? So Nicodemus, not it. God so loved the world, he gave his son that whoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. And Nicodemus, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it till you get that. Till you get that. Oh, you're one of the two people that went to the, that took
Jesus from the cross and took him to the tomb? One was Nicodemus. See, it's like he got it. He got it. He got it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, I think one thing, we just thank you that we are your sheep. We are your sheep. Somehow, someone spoke the word to us. You knew who we are, and we followed you. We thank you that someone shared with us. We thank you, God, that someone shared hope with us. We thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. And, Lord, we want to do just what the Jesus, just what you said to others, is the Father sent me, so I send you. That's it. It's so simple. Share Jesus and your life will change. Share Jesus, your job will change. Share Jesus, your neighborhood will change. That's it. That's it, right there. Things will fall into place. We're putting the cart before the horse, okay? If we do this and this, we'll be happy. We'll do this and this will be happy. It's not going to work. By the way, how's it been working for you? Right, you know? I'm going to share something. Somebody told me that a sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. I think spiritually is what we're doing. You know, we just keep doing the same thing over and expect different results. No, do something different. Share Christ first. Put him first. Your job will change. Your neighborhood will change. Your family will change. Everything will change. Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and I know who they are. And they will follow me. Amen? Hallelujah. I think we should sing praise to him.